Welcome to episode 21 of Logger. I'm your host Dan, and today I'm here with Paige.
Hi.
How you doing today, Paige?
Good.
You know what? You and I have both been playing a lot of games on the laptop lately, haven't we?
Yeah.
And you know, we got a somewhat jam-packed show today for. Got some good stuff. What do you want to talk about first? I'll let you pick it.
How about World of Goo? That's a pretty fun game.
Okay. Now, World of Goo, that is a commercial Linux game, proprietary, so we don't have the access to the source, but it's still a really great game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's put out... so thank you for helping me find that. Dun, 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 dun. World of Goo. Well, let's see. Who made World of Goo? Do you know?
No.
World of Goo was put out originally on the Nintendo Wii and also under computer. You can find it at worldofgoo.com, and it was a production by a small independent game company called 2D Boy. It's at 2dboy.com, and it is a somewhat of a 2D game. So let's describe World of Goo, Paige. Tell me what World of Goo is.
Well, it's a game with different levels. Basically, in each level, it gets harder and harder. You have to stack the goo either up or sometimes across to make a bridge. You have to stack it up to a tube-like thing that sucks. Once you reach it, it sucks the rest of the goo that you haven't used up into it, and you have to reach a certain amount of goo balls to go to the next level.
So let me see if I can re-clarify what you were saying so I have it right in my head. World of Goo is a physics-based puzzle/construction game whereby you have a number of goo balls that you're given at the start of a level, and the goal is to make it to the exit pipe on that level. And in order to do that, you have to build a construction, like a bridge, so to speak, across a bunch of different obstacles to get your goo balls, or a specific number of goo balls, a minimum number of goo balls, into the exit pipe, correct?
Yeah.
And along the way, what kind of obstacles do you have to overcome?
There's kind of conveyor belt-like things. There's spikes. There is windmills that you have to go over, or else the goo balls will pop. And there's
fire.
Yeah, there's fire.
Spikes.
I already said spikes.
Said spikes?
Yeah.
I didn't know if you said spikes. Water. But that's not really much of an obstacle because...
But sometimes the goo balls will drown. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And in the water, the water is kind of an obstacle because when you build it, you've got to make sure it doesn't turn around. Because the heavier one side is than the other, it'll turn, and then you got to start all over on the other side.
That is true. I mean, it is physics-based, so you have to construct a fairly sturdy bridge in the minimum number of balls possible to get the maximum number of goo balls into the exit pipe. Now, in addition to that, I mean, you have different kind of goo balls. Do you recall what kind of goo balls there are?
Well, there's the basic black one that once you use it, you can't use it again. It just stays there. There's green ones that you can build with, and then you can take them off, so they're reusable.
You can stick and unstick them.
Yeah. There's one level that you have to use with those where you have to get eight of them, and there's only, like, they give you something already built, but there's only like you only get four more, but they're green ones, so you can you can unstick them and you can put them into the pipe. There's also white goo balls, and usually those ones you can just do them straight down. They don't have to go into like a triangle shape. They're straight.
I thought the white goo balls were sticky, that they could actually stick to the ground. Don't they? Because there were some...
Some can stick to the ground, and some go just straight and not in a triangle form. There's the balloon ones. There's pinkish-red balloon goo balls that help the other goo balls fly up into the air, because sometimes there's pipes up in the air that you can't reach with your goo balls, so you have to use those to fly up and get to the pipes. There's the goo balls that catch on fire.
The pink ones, they're balloons, essentially.
Yeah.
I like the noise that they make. They're like, and it sounds like, you know, when you rub a balloon.
Yeah.
When you stick them. That's pretty cool. And now, the red ones.
They, those ones you build usually to a fire so they can explode, and then, like, that knocks, like, something out of the way of a pipe, or, it makes something explode, and so you build it up to the fire, and it explodes, technically. It catches on fire, and it explodes. It's kind of like a matches that you build together.
They're like gunpowder.
Yeah.
Now, there's also...
those 3D, green ones that they don't actually stick to anything really. That you don't build with them. You click on them and you drag your mouse where you want them to go, and they kind of jump from one place to another.
You essentially slingshot them on a trajectory.
Yeah.
Square ones.
Yeah, there's the green square ones that you use. You use those with the ones that jump. You use those to build, so you can get the ones that actually jump to pipes and stuff, usually.
Now, there's a few more. There's the yellow one.
Oh, yeah, that one's
big.
Spiky goo ball. That stick to everything.
Yep. And you use that in some levels in a unique way to grab your goo balls onto it and swing it. You know, they go, it'll hitch onto the big rotating drum.
Uh-huh.
And you can go up the drums like that.
And there's also the skeleton head one. It's a skull, and like that one, it doesn't pop if it touches spikes. So you use that to get the regular goo balls over to the pipes, because if you put those underneath the regular goo balls, the goo balls won't pop.
Yeah, so they're almost like protector shields.
Yeah.
Armor goo balls.
Yeah.
There are also the smiley face pink goo ball. Remember the big heads?
Oh, yeah. The big heads, the beauty goo balls. There's two different ones. There's the beauty school one, and there's a kind of reddish,
ugly
orangish,
one.
Tannish, ugly one, and then there's a pink, pretty one. And usually you use the ugly ones to like fill up a spiky ditch or something, and then you use the pretty ones to get into the pipe. You don't really use the ugly ones to get into pipes much. You mostly use the pink ones.
I'm not sure they can. Is there any stage they can go into the pipes?
I don't think there is.
Because I think the beauty ones are in stages where there's a red pipe, and basically those are the only ones that go into the pipe.
And then there's
you can't
the
fill with the beauty ones.
Yeah, you can't. Click on them and drag them places. They have to go. You can use the whistle, which you get in like the second world. You can use the whistle to make them go places, but other than that, you can't do that. And the dark black ones, the straight black ones, you can't move those either. You have to use the whistle to move those. Remember those, they're not exactly grayish black, but they're black. Some of those, you can't move them. They have to move by themselves.
So you have, it's six levels, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the four main levels, the bonus level, and the World of Goo Corporation. And essentially, the first three levels are different deviations on the, you know, the same concept where you have to build towards a pipe and there's different obstacles in your way and different challenges. You know, I recall one of the higher levels where you had to, you had a big bomb that you had to drop from the ceiling carefully with the green balls to position in front of two barriers, and then use the red balls to
set it on fire,
cause it to explode. Then you had to take the remaining balls that you had that were over and that you woke up to create a bridge to cross that gap.
I actually never finished that level.
And then get the minimum number of goo balls. That was a challenging level. The other one, one of the bonus levels too was really wild, where you had to build a bridge construct almost straight up, so, and use the balloon to hold it there enough so that after you had built it up, you let it drop to the right so it would hit the other ledge. But you had to keep at least like one of the balloons there to position it so it wouldn't collapse into the gap. Then you had to build onto the end of that.
I remember
and
that.
And lift it back up on the other side with the balloon goo. And just keep doing that. That was a pretty cool level.
That was cool and kind of challenging. Also, you're not timed, so you have plenty of time and you can retry the levels.
Well, technically, you're not timed. Completion of a level is not based upon your time. You don't have a minimum time, but the more goo balls you can get into the exit pipe in the least amount of time, the better your score could be that descends to the World of Goo leaderboards. So the faster you do it with and capture the most number of goo balls, the better your leaderboard score will be. And that's a combination of everybody worldwide. And also, when you have a surplus of goo balls, let's say on a level where you have to get 5 goo balls in and you get like 10, you get those 5 extra goo balls to use in the World of Goo Corporation level.
Yeah.
And essentially all that is just a flat level where you build the highest tower you can, and you build it in competition with other players worldwide.
Yeah.
So you connect to the internet, and you'll start seeing clouds appear in the sky. And if you click on the clouds, you'll see how high other people have built the tower. And I think, what's the highest one? 700,000? Or is it 76,000?
I'm not sure. Also, there's also some levels where you don't even have to, you don't use the goo balls at all. You use those brick things, build them up, and they travel through them to the pipes. Well, you do use some, you use the red ones that jump to connect it to the pipes, but that's really it. You use the rest use the bricks with the eyes on them, those bricks to build a
path. You're talking about the fourth level stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
Right before it goes, well, once you get to the fourth level, it's called the Information Superhighway, which breaks. And it goes to the old school graphics, line graphics. And the goal into those is to find a graphics processor so you can go to 3D. Well, actually, it is like old school 3D, and then you find a graphics processor to show you new school 3D. And that's where you get into the slinging of the goo balls with the trajectory. And I don't know, it's something you have to... one of my favorite levels was the one where it was all trajectory-based, where you had the red and green on the top. There was a block and it had the green on the bottom and the red at the top. Then there was a world in the middle.
You had to slingshot them around.
And
they had
around.
To...
Yeah, so it catches on
but
the red ones.
But first you had to shoot a green one around to wake up the red ones. And then you had to shoot the red ones around to get to the pipe. And then you had to shoot the green ones around so they would hit the red ones and go into the pipe. That was fun. A challenging one on the fourth level. I think the last one was pretty challenging. Because it looks easy, but then when you actually build it, you know, one wrong move and it goes all tumbling down until you reach mom, and then you ask her questions, and it's pretty hard, but it's not that hard, but it's kind of hard, you know.
What did you think of the story? Did you understand it? Did it mean anything to you?
Kind of. Not really. Kind of.
See, I think Now, the story meant a lot to me because I've been around computers for years, and it's very, there is a lot of just inside industry humor in there, kind of poking fun at corporations and Google and computers in general, and it was just so artfully done, which you probably didn't pick up on that due to, you know, you're fairly young and didn't grow up in the whole, you know, early stages of the Commodores and TIs and early stages of Apple up and through the x86 processor until we are today. So you didn't get a lot of that humor and story base in there. But it's still, is it an excellent game? Or is it,
yeah, I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Is this one of the best games that you've played yet?
Yeah.
How many penguins would you give it out of 5?
I'd probably give it 4.5 because sometimes it can be kind of confusing of what you're supposed to do. They give you little signs that tell you what to do, but sometimes it doesn't really give you a full vision of what you're actually supposed to do. So that half is taken away just because it's kind of challenging to figure out what you're actually supposed to do some of the time. So 4.5.
All right, so is this an Avery game? You can, either way, it's your opinion. You tell me. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Is it an Avery game?
I don't think so because it's kind of, you really need to take your time, and she likes to kind of rush through things a little bit, so I don't really think so.
Is this a mommy game?
It's not really well detailed, so I don't think it is now.
Well, what do you mean by well detailed?
Well, like, well detailed by it doesn't really give you much detail in the instructions.
Okay. It's fairly simple to figure out. So you don't think that mommy would appreciate this game because it doesn't give her enough instructions?
Well, I think that's the only reason why she wouldn't appreciate it. I think the rest of it she would like, but that there's not much detail in the instruction is the only reason.
Well, see, that's where you and I would disagree. I agree with you that I don't think this is an Avery game because I don't think she has the patience to sit through figuring this out. But I think mommy would dig this game.
Really?
Yeah, I do because she's watched it and she's been fascinated by it, and I do think that she would give it. So I would say age level 8, 9 maybe on up to old folk, like mommy, right?
That's not nice.
Now, this game, you absolutely have to use the mouse with it. And I can see that, you know, that is a requirement. I can also see that this being a good game to play on the Wii, even though we don't have it on the Wii.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, this is probably one of the most addicting and fun games that I've played this side of Frozen Bubble, and I would give this a 5 penguins out of 5. That's what I think. 4.5, 5 penguins, good game. It's well worth it. It was $20, $19.95, DRM free, which means you can install it on all the computers at your house. You can download the demo from 2dboy.com or worldofgoo.com. And again, it's for Windows OS 10 as well as Linux, but you want to get the Linux version. When you order it, you get access to all 3 versions. You can download whatever you want. This game sold more Linux copies in the first day it was available than any other, percentage-wise, than any other platform that they sold it on. I think it broke records for them. It's really good. Support these guys, 2dboy.com, and I hope to see a lot more games come from them because this was really good. Really good.
Yeah.
I have no complaints about it, except that it's too addicting. I think what would be cool for this game is if they offered, you know, ability to buy more levels, or even better yet, a level editor, where you can make your own levels. That would be
really good. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to put that one on the shelf. Of course, you'll be playing that a lot because you were playing that today.
I'm on the third. I've played 2 files already. This is my, I played it again for the third time, actually.
Wow. You like it, and you must have an awful lot of time on your hands.
Uh-huh.
All right, so what do you want to go on to next?
How about we go on to, let's see, What were the other ones? Super Tux and Alex the Alligator 4? Were those the other ones?
Well, why don't we pick one of those? Pick one of those that you want to talk about.
How about the Super Tux card?
Okay, Super Tux card.
Well, I've been playing that the past couple, like, maybe 2 weeks. I've been playing that a lot. It's a pretty fun game. It's all about, like, you pick a course, like, timed, quick route or something like that. Then you pick your character, and then you can pick, like, what class you're in, like, if you're a racer or just beginning or something like that. And then you pick how many people you're racing against. You can race yourself against you can race against the clock, or you can race against, you can race up to 12 people. Well, not people, but the computers, or people. I don't think it really matters.
This is kind of similar to Mario Kart, isn't it?
Kind of. The controls are a little bit different, and you can't, you don't really have as much control over these carts as you do in Mario Kart. These carts, if you go to the right, you'll go to the right unless you, like, really quickly you stop. You gotta stop really quick, you gotta, like, turn right when you're turning, but if you turn a little too early, you'll turn right into a wall or something. You don't really have as much control as you do in Mario Kart. It's a little bit more challenging.
I haven't played Super Tux Kart in probably a year, maybe 2 years. Now, I'm looking at latest releases, 0.61, and they say that they added the ability for add-on packages, and they released an add-on package with 7 additional cars and 6 tracks. How many tracks, different tracks have you played, and how many different carts have you seen?
I've played 1, 2, 3, 4 different tracks. How many different carts have I seen? I've seen all 7, I think. I've raced all 7 carts.
You've raced 7 different carts?
Yeah.
And, if you're gonna cough, you gotta go in the other room. This is important stuff.
Yeah, Avery.
Arrgh! All right, so Super Tux Kart, is it frustrating or fun for you?
For me, it's pretty fun. It's challenging. I like it when games are challenging because then it's not so easy that you just blow through it without even remembering the first few levels. It's pretty challenging, but I really like it. It's a fun game.
I'm wondering, I can't remember, is this... Is this a multiplayer game?
Like, to connect to other people?
Yeah, can you play...
Let me check.
No, you know what? I will look over here. You just keep talking about the game.
I don't think it is. I think you can just race against the computers. The computers, players. I don't think it's a multiplayer game.
Well, it says you can race up to 4 friends on 1 PC. I don't know if there's network support for it, though. Should have done a little more research. But there are... It is very... it's in the flavor of Mario Kart. And you can pick up different weapons and stuff. Can you not? Different items to use,
yeah,
in the game?
Yeah, like you can pick up certain rockets that can go straight to or certain rockets that follow the enemy until they hit it. There's like the star ones that they just like go backwards, they go really slow, but if you hit it, your cart will explode. It'll explode and it'll send your cart flying up. There is, there's a parachute that makes your cart go slower. There's, banana peels that make your cart have a parachute on them. It'll put a bomb on your cart, which will blow up eventually. Unless you hit another cart, then it'll go onto that cart. And there's a weight type thing. There's, let's see, anything else? the more there's coins, they have fish on them, there's little coins that if you get them, if you get up to 5 silver coins, then you can get up to 2 things in the mystery boxes. If you get up to 10, you can get 3, and so on and so on. So
cool.
Yeah.
Well, according to the documentation, they are working on networked multiplayer support. LAN support's in there already, but WAN support is not. So we shall see. What penguin score do you give this? 0 to 5 penguins.
I give it 4 penguins because I knock off a whole penguin because of it's not as easy to control your cart, so it's easy to mess up, and but you can retry the levels, but still I knock off one because of the amount of control.
Well, see, I wonder if I follow through on my threat to get the gamepad, which I want to get a gamepad for this. I wonder if a gamepad would make it easier.
I don't know.
We'll have to revisit this when we get a gamepad. I'm not going to review it because I haven't played it in a long time, but let's see. Avery's score.
I think she would probably get really frustrated because it's not easy to control. She'd probably mess up a lot and wouldn't want to play it. I'm not sure how it would be if we got the gamepad, but I think she would get probably frustrated with this.
All right. Mommy score.
I think Mommy, she liked, Mario Kart. I think she would like it, but still the, lack of control, I think that would be kind of hard.
The difficulty in control, okay. I can probably agree with your testament there, but, you can get Super Tux Kart at supertuxkart.sourceforge.net, but more than likely you can pull it down from your distributions repository. We did it through Ubuntu, and it was fairly simple to get installed. So, happy day for that. Let's move on. Let's move on. Unless you have anything else to say about Super Tux Kart. Let's move on to the next game that you've been playing. What is it called?
Alex the Alligator 4, I think.
Okay,
Alligator 4. Mm-hmm.
You can find the alligator.sourceforge.net or pull it down from the repositories, which is where I believe I got it. Alex the Alligator 4. What? I have never played this game. From the screenshots, it looks like a platformer. What is this game all about? Tell me about it.
Well, it's about... in the beginning, you get, like, a little, you can see Alex and his friend. They're talking, and then they're talking about how alligators are getting snatched up and made into boots and stuff, taken to alligator farms and stuff. And then they hear a helicopter, and the helicopter traps Alex's friend, and then you go on this whole adventure trying to save Alex's friend from the people in the helicopters and people making the
Would this be something similar to Super Mario Brothers?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, what do you do in this? You are an alligator, and what do you do?
You're an alligator. You go through. You collect hearts and stars and cherries and all this stuff to give you more health and points. And you have 2 tries in the beginning of each level. And there's these people that walk throughout. Those are your enemies.
One of them looks like an ape.
Huh?
One of them looks like an ape.
I don't think so. They're just people. That's a person.
That's a person?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of them have spears, too. you can jump on top of them, and then they'll get squished, and then you can walk like right by them, and then you can like he'll open his mouth and he'll eat them, and that gives you more points. and also, there's like those clear blocks. You can in some parts of the in some places there's these little wheels in the ground that spin. If you go on them, like whichever direction you're going, you'll turn into a wheel and you can crush through those clear blocks. Not the regular blocks, just the clear ones. And then you'll get like points and stuff. Also sometimes you have to use that to get through places. There's, up when you're at level 6, that's one of the bosses. That's pretty hard. You have to go from one point, you have to, jump on top of a platform. You have to jump right so the cannon doesn't shoot, so it doesn't hit you. Then, when the boss is right behind you, where you were, by the platform where you were, you have to jump onto sometimes you jump onto one of his men, and then you have to run over to the other platform. Then you have to wait until he comes. Then you have to wait until he comes, and hits that platform that you're on. And then when he turns around, then you jump onto the spinning block, and then you hit him while you're spinning. You have to do that a couple times. I haven't beaten that level yet, but that's kind of tricky. But he's got, the boss has got like this, he's riding in a machine. It's got this plate in front of it that has spikes on it. So if he hits you, you're dead, and then you have one life left. And so you only get 2 lives. Usually in games you get 3, but in this you have 2 lives. So
Is it a fun game?
It's a fun game, yeah. It's really fun.
I know you've been playing it a lot, haven't you?
Yeah.
I still have yet to play it. I've heard good things about it. It sounds fun to you. It's not in color, is it? It looks like it's green.
No, it's white, black, and green. That's the only colors, and kind of grayish.
So, how many penguins do you give it?
I'd give it a 5 penguins.
Is it really? You liked it that much? 5 penguins?
Yeah.
It's that good?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's fair enough. It sounds, does it have sound?
It has sound in the beginning when it shows him and his friend talking. You can hear the helicopter and everything. But I don't think the rest of the game has much sound. No, like little beeps and stuff, like he eats something or something like that, but nothing else.
Now, I noticed there's a lot of levels for this that you can download. Do you know if there's an in-game level editor?
I don't think there is.
Okay, it's something I will have to check out, but it seems pretty sweet.
Yeah, it is.
Let me see here. Alex the Alligator is a pure run-and-jump game. Classical performance. Old school platformer. Download includes built-in editor where you can create and play your own level. So somewhere there is a level editor. Coolness. I gotta try this game out. I'm interested to play it. Avery Test. Is it a good Avery game?
I think so, yeah. Sometimes it's hard to like jump over stuff and jump on over like the ditches and stuff, but I think Avery would like this game. I think she would.
Yeah. Sweetness. Now, this game is available with the source code at, oh crap, I just had it up and I moved it. It's a freelunchgames.com, but it has its own website on SourceForge called alligator.sourceforge.net. It is from Free Lunch Design, so if you go to freelunchdesign.com, there are some more games over there. I'm not sure which ones support Linux or have the source code for it, but Alex sounds like a really cool game. You say it's good for Avery?
Yeah, I think
what about
she would
Mommy?
Enjoy it. Yeah, it's kind of like Super Mario. It's kind of like the DS version of Super Mario when you have to beat that like dinosaur that throws the eggs. That like lady dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mommy enjoys that game. Alex the Alligator 4 is kind of like that game, so I think Mommy would enjoy it.
Coolness and coolness and coolness. Let's see. Anything else you'd like to say about this game? 5 penguins, huh? You really like this game, huh?
Yeah.
Right up your alley.
Mm-hmm. Well, wasn't there one other game we were gonna...
Yeah, there is one other game. We're saving it. This is gonna be the last game, I think, that we talk about today.
Oh, yeah.
It is Echelon Book 1 by Basilisk Games. You can find it at Basilisk, that's B-A-S-I-L-I-S-K, games.com, book one. It is a role-playing game, RPG. It won the RPG of the Year Award in 2007 for gamingwithchildren.com. It is cross-platform, and it is commercial, or closed-source commercial game. You can download a demo of it off the Basilisk Games website. It's $19.95 for the full version, and The idea, well, the startup of this game, it's an old-school RPG, old-school-style RPG. You build your character in the beginning. Now, you can only be a male in this, which I remember that. They said the next one, because this focuses around a male character. Book 2, I think, maybe it might allow you to choose. But you wake up in a burned-out house, and you have to figure, you know, try and reclaim your memories at the same time, figure out what your purpose is in the game. And you can choose between, I know there's a rogue, which you've been playing, right?
Yeah.
There's an a ranger slash archer, which I've been playing. There's a warrior. I know there's a wizard. Is there another class?
Do you want me to bring it up?
No, don't bring it up. We don't need to bring it up. It is a... Anyway, I think that's the class limits right there. Wait, there's got to be a... Is there a cleric or something?
There's five of them.
Rogue, wizard, fighter, ranger. Rogue, wizard, fighter, ranger. It's got to be a cleric. I can't think of anything else it would be.
I guess, probably.
Character portraits are kind of ugly, aren't they? They're ugly guys.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, did you find a handsome guy? Like, I took the bald dude.
It doesn't really matter because you only actually see the guy in his picture when he's talking to people.
Uh-huh.
Because other than that, they all look the same when you're playing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you chose the bald guy.
Well, you do see the different armor and weapons that he chooses.
Yeah, you can see that.
You put on
that's,
a hat.
That's it, though.
So you pick your guy, you pick your class, you get a base set of stats, skills, like strength, intelligence, wisdom, dexterity, stuff like that. Then you get like a bunch of, 14 points or so to put in that you can customize. You also get to pick skills.
Yeah, and I love picking locks.
Yeah,
I love the pick lock skill. You get that if you choose rogue. So I chose rogue to get the pick lock skill. I chose alchemy and hide in shadows and the one for the maps.
Cartography.
Yeah, cartography. I started at level 4 on cartography, so my maps are as good as yours. And you had to build it up, so my maps are already as good as yours.
Now, see, what I chose to begin with was I chose an archer, so I had ranged weapons, bow.
I didn't have the choice of archer because I chose different. So
well, as an archer, I got the skill, the bow skill, right from the bat. And I think as a rogue, what do you get as a skill right off the bat?
Pick lock.
See, I got archer, and
that's my favorite skill.
I took swords. And I took survival, and I took...
You don't need survival to be able to camp.
But I took it anyhow.
Yeah, I know.
I think those were the only three skills I took. I think I might have taken... I can't remember whether I chose pick locks. No, I know what I did. I took those...
I don't think you can choose to pick locks.
Yeah, you can. It's a skill that you can pick. Because I have it.
Oh.
I didn't choose that off the bat. I didn't think about it. And then after I was wandering around, I realized, well, it would probably be a good idea to have this. That was, I think, one of the first skills I chose.
It's easier to pick the locks than to beat down the doors with your weapons, because if you use the weapons too much to beat down, like, doors and stuff, and instead of just using it to beat down barrels and sometimes chests, if you use it all the time, then you'll usually break your weapons. I broke a couple daggers, breaking down stuff, so I decided I was going to pick the locks for the doors instead of break them down because I broke some weapons.
Yeah, I found that out too. Like, I'm level 4 at lock picking now, and that does pretty good for me.
I started on level 4 lock picking.
Now, see, I also, I was kind of, when I first started the game, I was a little miffed that I was like, man, what this game needs is a map. It really needs. And I was not aware that, you know, that you had to have skills in cartography, because there was a map section right over there, and I'm like, why?
But there's nothing on it.
Yeah, and I'm like, why? And I didn't realize until I beat the Sexton quest that you get in the first inn, And the guy said, do you want me to train you in cartography so you can build maps? And once I started doing that, I'm like, oh, wow. Now the map is filling itself in as I walk around.
But when you start on level one, it's only like, it's kind of like sketchy. Like, you've got like little bits everywhere, and like, it's not completely filled in. So, like, but then once you get to, like, level 3 and 4, you can actually see the green of the land, and you can actually see the outlines of the house. Sometimes you can see stuff inside the house. Sometimes you can see, like, little, like beds or, like, a chest or
what
a
level
stairs.
Are you on in cartography?
In four.
I'm on level 4, too. I wonder how much
four.
More detail they could actually get.
Well, you could probably, you know, see, you probably zoom in and see more detail.
Can you zoom in on the map?
I don't know, but probably if you get a higher level, you could probably zoom in and see higher, better pictures of the house, maybe even people. That live in the house.
Where are you in this game?
I'm doing the what it said to do in the second letter. I haven't done any quests yet. Where it told you to go in the second note. I think.
Wait, what's
at
this?
Least.
You found. Wait.
I'm trying to find the medallion thing that I'm supposed to find.
Oh wait, you found the medallion, or you have to go to the lady who tells you what the medallion means.
I have to go to, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do in the second note, finding the, what the guy hid in, the coffin or
something. Oh, in the graveyard, in the tomb.
Yeah.
In the tomb, okay.
I'm trying to find that. I think I'm at the place, but I'm not exactly sure. I need some help with that.
What you probably want to do is, a little advice on there, do a couple of side quests. There's the sextant quest, because that's not too far away. There's the one where you find the book on transportation circuits. That one, oh wait, that one's in the tombs. Well, I don't want to give any more away. Oh, yeah, okay. Because I've met Lilith, and I'm trying to get the one area opened up where the goblins are, so you can.
Yeah.
Those little dudes are tough.
Bandits. I went
when
there.
You get
I went there
one.
Right quick, where like the guy was dying. He told me about that, and I was like, it's goblins. That shouldn't be too hard. I went over. I saw the goblin. I saved first before I went into the place.
The most important thing in this game.
I didn't think the goblins would be that hard, but then they, like, killed me, and I was like, good thing I saved.
Yeah, that's the most important thing in this game. You have to save. If you don't save, you're going to lose so much progress.
And if you don't save, it doesn't save for you automatically in the beginning when you start. You have to save, or else you have to create your whole new character, a whole new character.
Yeah, this is a turn-based game. It's a turn-based RPG, old school RPG, isometric view. The graphics are. I like the graphics. I really like the sound effects too. I like it when you're splashing through water. I like when you come on the fungus. The way that the fungus sounds.
I haven't gone to that yet.
You haven't fought any fungus yet.
Oh.
The squishy things, and then they.
Yeah.
Chuck
yeah.
Their,
okay. Okay. I didn't exactly know. Yeah. That's kind of. I was like, I don't know what you're doing, but that sounds like a really nasty battle. Because you were fighting the fungus, and I was like, something like that. It was all, I didn't like that. It sounded weird.
It is. I think the story is excellent. I'm really enjoying the story. There's a lot of outside detail, too. Like, you can find books on the history of the area. They're fairly short reads. I mean, they're like one or two pages of information.
Sometimes stuff that you find is even half a page. You know, just ripped out of something or something like that.
Yeah, you can find. Did you? I found like one of the first potions that you can find talks about how to make healing potions.
You found that, and I like kind of remembered the recipe. It's that the chunk of amber stuff, not amber,
willow sap,
and the sulfur, like that. Sulfur, the yellow sulfur, and then you just need to empty
And you also have to have one skill point in alchemy for those, at least.
Yeah, one. I have 4 skill points in alchemy, so.
Now, you know what? What I would have... This is tough, because you don't really learn this until you've played some of the game or somebody else has played. Like, I don't think I would have chucked any points in the cartography if I would restart again, because you can actually buy those skills. Later on in the game after you beat the Sexton quest. Same thing is when I came upon the guy up there in the border town, you could buy alchemy skills, and you could also buy bow and throwing skills from another guy. The only thing is, I don't know what I kept doing, but every time I go back to the alchemist, he'd try and kill me. I think maybe that's because I stole out of his bucket.
Wait, he wouldn't do that to me. I stole stuff out of there.
I don't know, the moment
I remember that treasure chest? Nobody would kill you about it because nobody was usually there, but the treasure chest that when you tried to pick the lock, it exploded first, but it only took away 15 points. That killed me at first, and I was like, good thing I saved before I got there. And then I did it one more time, and there was some...
There are barrels of gunpowder that... Now, I'm trying to think. I went and hit one once, and it blew up and killed me.
Oh, really? When I tried to hit one, I didn't know it was full of gunpowder. It said... it wouldn't let me hit. It said it's full of gunpowder.
See, I hit one. I think I was trying to figure out a way to explode some of those. And you know what? I haven't invested much time.
What about your arrows?
I'm wondering if that could do it. Because the one level in... There was a bunch of goblins with arrows. A bunch of archer goblins. And there was a gunpowder barrel around them. I'm wondering if I could just shoot that and explode and kill some of them. I don't know. It's something I'll have to try out.
And the demon oil spell thing. Not the spell, that the thing that you use to make demon oil.
Uh-huh.
I got that. It said it's fun for the whole family.
Yeah. Did you make any of that yet?
I didn't make any of that. I don't have the ingredients yet.
What level alchemist are you?
4.
I think you need to be minimum level 5. Because I have the Alchemist book 2, and it says you need to be at least Alchemist level 5 before you can...
I don't think I have the Alchemist book.
You'll find them along the way. I think there's a bunch of them in the tomb. There's other twists in the story there. When you go find... You go cure the leper guy from the priest. That's pretty cool. I like this game a lot.
The first time I actually got that potion thing, I didn't know I was supposed to. I just took it without even talking to him. So he kept trying to kill me, and I sold it. And it was like the lady gave me 150 for it. I didn't know you weren't supposed to sell it, or just I didn't know you were supposed to talk to him to get it. So, but then like the second time I talked to him, and I got it, and then I realized I was supposed to sell it. Because I actually read what he said that time.
I'm wondering what happens. I mean, this game also, one of the other things you choose when you're building your character is your alignment. And what alignment did you choose? Do you remember? See, I'm druidic, so I'm neutral. And I wonder what happens when you do different things.
I did the second one. I forget what that's called. I did the second one. But.
And I wonder what... I'd have to, you know, I should have read up on what alignment might do to your character. Like, I was thinking to myself, I found out if you go in and you steal stuff from people, I don't know what the impact is all the time. Like, you could open up the treasure chest in the blacksmith's area and take all that stuff and stuff from the barrels, but I don't know what happens if he sees you do that. Now, I did find out when I tried to pick the lock and opened up the treasure chest by the alchemist, the whole town attacked me.
I actually at nighttime I went over into the where the blacksmith works, and he was out outside. He was looking straight at me though, and I looked in the rack, and there was an axe, but it had the blue outline, so it was more valuable. And I took everything, and he didn't even see me. I took everything.
Wait, he was outside? Oh, you mean the guy at Border Town? No.
The guy that they lived around there because of the fungus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I took it. He was, like, staring straight at me from outside, and he didn't even see me. I guess it was because it's pitch black. Well, not pitch black, but black. Also, I couldn't camp out either because there was, like, not hunters, the guys with the swords, they were hiding in the woods waiting for me to go along that path, so I couldn't go along that path because every time I went there, they killed me. So I went over to them, and then I brought them over to the village, and then those guys just took care of it for me.
Way out.
Yeah, they would take care of the guys, and they would just, even though they died, they would just come back, usually. Except for that one guy that, the treasure chest that blew up, the guy that was over there, he didn't come back.
I know why he doesn't come back, but I'm not going to tell you.
Why? That's probably
I'm not
gonna
tell you. I can't tell you why. I think that's probably a little bit of a glitch in the game, and I can't tell you why he doesn't come back, because he's part of another quest, and you'll find out why. But I don't want to spoil it for anybody else.
He's already dead and gone, so whatever.
But he's part of another quest, and I think that's... Anyway, this is old-school RPG style. Now, when I was your age, I was playing games like this, although not as nice and graphic. The one that comes to mind was Tunnels of Doom for me.
Wait, when you said that you went into the treasure chest, and you tried to go into the treasure chest, and everybody attacked you and tried to kill you? Well, usually what I would do before going into a town is I would save, and then if I accidentally did something to make them want to kill me, then I would set it so that it would go back to when I saved, and then I was just, you know, so like if I accidentally did something that would make them want to kill me, I just reset it and go back and go to that town again and remember that what I did that one time killed me, so that's what I did. So,
sweetness and light.
What?
No, I was just saying, it sounds...
Yeah. I like luring, like, once, before, in some of the files that I had to erase because I got, like, trapped somewhere where these guys, they were attacking me and I couldn't get free, or, like, these monsters that were attacking me and I couldn't get free, like, I dragged these two giant salamanders things into the first village, and the guard would fight them, and I would sneak into those two locked rooms where there was treasure, and I would steal the treasure while he was fighting. It worked, but then the second time it didn't work.
Huh.
What?
No, I was just saying, it's a fun game. What I was gonna say is, Tunnels of Doom was a, old school RPG on the TI-99/4A, which I used to play for hours by myself, have to load it in off cassette tape to save my game. Took 3 minutes, Paige. 3 minutes to load in, 3 minutes to save.
Seriously, all you have to do on this is click onto the file you want, you press enter, and that's it. It takes, like, not even a half a second.
Well, back in the day, I had to save it on... Back in the day, I had to save it, and, well, anyway, I used to play Tunnels of Doom with my friends a lot, and, we had a good time doing it. There is a Tunnels of Doom game out there, which I am going to see about pulling down right now, see if it actually will work on our systems. There's a Tunnels of Doom website, tribute website out there, which I'll post in the web. On the show notes, it looks pretty cool. Now, what I'd be interested in, do you like these kind of games, RPG games?
Yeah.
I do. I like them a lot. I think they're a lot of fun. Maybe I would want to, after you're playing this for a little while, maybe we could check out Battle for Westnaw, which is a open source game. I think it's under the GNU license. But it's a turn-based RPG, although it's a little more complex than Echelon. Last time I played it is, you don't just control one guy, you control a bunch of people. And maybe you'll find that interesting. It's a very, very complex game.
Like, they're in a group and you control a lot of people?
Yeah, that's part of it.
I'm not really good at that kind of game.
It's turn-based, though.
I'm not really good with a group that you control all by yourself, but, well, maybe, you know.
Well, we shall try that out. What do you give Echelon, Book 1? 0 to 5 fingers.
Let's see. Out of what?
0 to 5 penguins.
Oh. 4.5 because I take away the half because of when, like, the, when you steal something from the people and they want to kill you, you know, that, like, if you accidentally do something and they want to kill you, you know, usually it's start over if you want to, like, because they, you know, you want to get stuff, like, buy stuff from them, but if they're, you know, if they're trying to kill you, they're not going to want to talk, really.
So you're taking a half point away because you don't like the fact that if you steal something from somebody, they don't like you.
Or do something wrong. Or
they don't like you doing, they don't like you stealing, so they take points of, they become an enemy to you. So you want to be able to steal from them.
No, not steal.
So you're taking points away for things that the game is supposed to do properly that you don't want it to do. Because you want to be evil.
Stop. Fine, I give it 5.
Well, you don't have to give it 5, whatever, that's fine.
I only took half a point away, okay? So,
I hear what you're saying. I really enjoyed the game. I enjoyed it a lot. It was a lot of fun. I give it a, I want to give it a 5 because I can't think of anything I find down with it. I really thought it was a blast. I think it's well worth the $19. It would be great if they was open source, but, you know, it's still a ball of fun.
You know what, even though, you know, you say that it's supposed to, they're supposed to attack you if you steal something or do, like, be a thief, but I take a point away because, well, half a point away because if, like, the enemies, if they, like, trap you, like, it's not as easy to fight off the enemies and they can easily trap you, so that, I take a point off away from that because of that, because if they trap you, like, you can't do anything if you, like, save there and they trap you. Can't really do anything then. All you can do is try to escape, but you know, if you're trapped, you can't really escape from that. Especially those fungus, they can shoot you with like darts from them. Like they can shoot you from darts from their body, of fungus, and like so I got trapped by that once and I had to make a whole new game. So I take a point off from that, so 4.5.
Again, you're taking points off for gameplay. Alright, no problem. What about the Avery test? Will it pass the Avery test? Hell no.
I don't think so.
No? Not, I don't think so.
No.
What about mommy test? Will it pass the mommy test?
Maybe. I think mommy would enjoy the game, but it's kind of a hard game, you know. The enemies are really advanced enemies, so maybe.
I don't know. I don't think mommy would enjoy. This is mommy's kind of game, but you know, who knows?
I think maybe.
It's possible. I don't think mommy would. This is mommy's kind of game. Well, we shall see what other people might think about it. Good games this week. What did we talk about? We talked about World of Goo.
We talked about Tuxcart. We talked about, what was it called? Alex the Alligator 4 and Ashlam Book 1.
Well, you know what we can actually do? I don't know. We're not going to talk about it, but we could set this up. Move over a second here. I did find the Tunnels of Doom tribute game. And let's see if we could actually run it here for a second. You can see kind of what it looked like in the old school days. Java. It's a Java-based game. Let's see if it'll actually run. Oh, look at that. Look. Oh. Tunnels of Doom. Yep, that, this is what it looked like back in the day.
Wow.
1982.
I'm so glad.
Oh, now this is the reboot. Now, okay.
I'm so glad I live in this century.
Oh, come on.
What? I mean, it looked horrible.
Quest for the King. We're loading in the game. How many in your party? 1 to 4. Let's do 4. Choose. We're gonna put a fighter for player 1. Let's make him a Japanese fighter, and we'll call him Possum Lo Mane.
Possum Lo Mane?
Yeah. We're gonna have a rogue.
What about Possum Chang?
An Amazonian rogue, and we'll call her Tara Bonfire. We'll have a rogue as the third one, a Celtic rogue, and we'll call him Wizzip, the mage. And then we'll have another fighter, and we'll make him a Hittite, and we'll call him Stab-a-Lot. Sir Stab-a-Lot.
Sir Stab-a-Lot.
We'll play on medium. How many levels? Let's go for 10. Oh, wait. Ah, I chose the wrong thing. Hold on. Quest 4, fighter. He was Japanese. Possum Lo Mein.
Possum Lo Mein. He was Amazon.
No, this I chose the wrong thing. I want a rogue who was an Amazon. And this was, what was Amazon? Tara the Babe. We'll just call her Tara the Babe. a wizard that was Celtic called Wizzit the Mage. And another fighter, which was a Hittite, called Sir Stab-a-Lot. We want a medium, 10 levels. We'll call the save file Dingus.
Dingus.
And here we go. This is old school. Old school fail. I don't see anything going on. What's going on here? I see a lot of exception nulls. Oh, dun 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 dun. Let's see what happens if I restart it. All right, let's see if we can load a game. Dingus. Ah, there we go. What do I do now? Ye old shop. One, okay, there's...
Possum Lo Mein. Aren't you gonna check all the characters? Part of the
Babe. We're finishing. Oh, look. look at Tara the Babe, Wizzit the Mage, Sir Stab-a-Lot. Alright,
Is Sir Stab-a-Lot even a guy?
Don't know. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know what the controls are. Let's go back to the main menu. What's options? Sound effect news. Game introduction on. What's toggle screen mode? Oh.
Hey, Michael. Screen. Full screen. How come you can't do full screen like that?
What was it, F5? But I don't know what to do. Well, it's something we need to play with. We shall,
The old shop.
We'll figure that out. Anyway, we should probably wrap this up.
I thought shop was almost full with one P.
It's a kind of the old shoppy. It's the old school style spelling. Kind of makes it look medieval. Well, any last words before we close up?
See you later.
All right, thank you. That's Lager 21 in the baggy bag. Oh, say bye-bye, Paige.
Bye.
Say bye-bye, Paige.
Bye.
Say bye-bye, Paige.
Shut up.
All right, bye-bye, everybody.
That wraps up another episode of Lager. Thank you very much for listening. Remember, Lager is released under Creative Commons for non-commercial use license. Feel free to copy, excerpt from, or distribute Lager for non-commercial purposes. The opening music of the show is provided by James Underberg, called The Battle, with sound effects from Blob Wars by Parallel Realities. We'll see you next time.